What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buffalo Common Council member Mitch Nowakowski back from the Windy City here to tell us all about it. Mitch, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Beamer.
So tell us, 4 days in Chicago, we heard from current President Joe Biden, we heard from former presidents Obama and Clinton, and heard from the nominee. What stood out to you these 4 days in Chicago?
What stood out to me was the energy that was in the room. So let's face it. So when President Biden stepped down, it was really something that ignited the Democratic Party to electrify among a new candidate who was younger, who's connected a little bit more to communities who were kind of, overlooked or kind of dormant. So, LGBTQ people, women, a lot of people are connecting with Kamala Harris as our top ticket nominee. So the one thing that stood out the most to me was that, look, we're a big tent party. So we have, I met Democrats that were moderate. I met some that were to the left. I met some that were farmer, rural, urban, suburban, coastal, you name it. And it seemed, to me that what stood out was that they wanted to electrify, to connect, to unite among Kamala Harris. There was no in-party fighting, and everyone seems united to go out and get Kamala Harris elected, because Michelle Obama said it right. We can sit around the coffee table and talk about, oh, can a black woman be president? Can a woman be president? We can sit and talk about it, or we could just go out and go do it and go get them elected. And that's what the message is for me and everybody that was at that convention, to go back into their hometowns, go back into their states, and get Kamala Harris elected.
Before you went, when you were heading there, and as we mentioned, we talked to you the night that President Joe Biden decided not to run for re-election. Did you have any feeling that there might be some kind of infighting, not to a big scale, but some people that were hanging on, hoping that Joe Biden hadn't been, well, as some would say, pushed out, as others say, he stepped down. Did you expect any of that, or were you expecting it to be this uniting right from the beginning?
I didn't know. I was apprehensive, so I didn't know, because, you have people who are to the left who are dissatisfied with, ultimately anything that the Democratic Party does. There you have people that were really supportive of the incumbent president. So I was skeptical. But right when I got there, my skepticism completely dropped after the first night. And it seemed that people just had a vigor and an energy that was kind of like 2008 reminiscent of like, okay, this is something new. This is something different. And, it really gave 2008 vibes with uniting and everybody under the spectrum, especially young people that you need to go to the polls to get elected, seem to be energized and ready to rock and roll.
Mitch, let's talk about Monday. That is when President Joe Biden spoke and then didn't show up again to the DNC, flew out to California. What was your thoughts on that? Would you have liked him to be more part of the convention as the sitting president, or do you think it was enough Biden?
I think it was enough Biden. He came in there. He surely showed a lot of stamina because he kept us up to 1 o'clock in the morning and then spoke for almost an hour. So his speech was a good recap of the last 4 years, but I was very happy that he was able to do a speech. He spoke as the incumbent president, and then the rest of the time was to build up the incumbent vice president Kamala Harris to be our nominee and Tim Walz. And it was really about them and getting to know them and to display them to the American public. So I was very happy that he took Monday night, he spoke to us to unite the party, and then went out to go finish out his term.
Obviously, until a month ago, it was going to be Joe Biden's convention, Kamala Harris, the vice president. Now, if people want to stay off the record, that's fine. But to the people you talk to, and I'm guessing you talk to a lot of people there, especially the Buffalo people, did anyone voice any concern? Not saying they're not 100% behind the candidate, but voice any concern about the next 70-some days until election and what this campaign has to establish?
Well, that's a good question. So, think about it. I mean, you have to run a race within 70, now almost 71 days. So you have to not only, get into America's living rooms, you have to then make your case. So you have a very short, you know, small window, and it's a sprint until November. So I think that the apprehension was initially like, okay, can we do this in such a short amount of time? But to me, I've been in politics since I was 17 years old. So, you know, everyone says, oh, I have good vibes and feelings. You know, good vibes and feelings only take you so far. You have to hit certain metrics. So the fact of the matter that when she, when Kamala Harris announced her candidacy for presidency, that she was able to raise over $200 million, you know, within 24 hours, that thousands of people, you know, went to field offices to sign up to be volunteers, and the amount of people on the Democratic bench that immediately came out to support, that is the metrics that says, okay, this is a winning campaign. This is the nuts and bolts that will help run a campaign that could bring us over to the finish line. So, you know, initially, you know, because it was so unorthodox for us to go to a convention and nominate the vice president with only, you know, barely like, you know, what, 2 weeks that we changed the top of the ticket. But that apprehension washed away when we were able to see everything at the convention for ourselves.
Mitch, we haven't spoken since Tim Walz was selected to be the VP candidate. What are your thoughts on Tim Walz, and what did you think from what you heard from him at the DNC on Wednesday?
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think he's a great selection. To me, he's like comfort food. So he, you know, he has those Midwestern sensibilities that speak to a lot of people. I think that he's going to be incremental, you know, or instrumental in closing those gaps in swing states. I mean, let's fact of the matter is that we can connect with someone like Tim Walz. You know, he's a dad, he's a coach, he's a teacher, and you know, he has these sensibilities that people can connect with because everybody, you know, feels that we have someone like that in our own lives, and it's such a positive influence. And so I think that he's going to be critical, and I think that he's great to balance the ticket.
Mitch, I was critical of this during the week, and I just want to get the reasoning for this, because I'm sure that there is a reasoning for it, and I overreacted. The roll call that was at the DNC was, you know, kind of ceremonial. There had been one behind the scenes. What was the reason for having the roll call behind the scenes?
So the reason behind the scenes was actually a technicality because of the state of Ohio. So every state has different rules on when a president needs to be nominated so that they can be placed on their ballot. And so the state of Ohio, actually, their rules made the Democratic Convention have to nominate ceremonies, or in reality, a few weeks before to actually get it done. And then the roll call was, you know, on the floor was more ceremonial. But to me, the roll call on the floor was like, it was like a concert. That is, you know, every state that got to go up there and demonstrate what their state means to the United States of America, their history, what they're proud of, what they contribute to this country. So, you know, I think that, you know, I saw a lot of memes, and I think that you could even agree too, that when you play the Republican convention roll call to the Democratic roll call, it was completely two different conventions. It was, one was you fell asleep, and the other one, it was like, you know, pumping you up and display what the best is of this country, and to display, you know, the best of each state that contributes to the United States of America.
Well, I will say this, Mitch, and it might be the only positive thing I say about the DNC, but at 53, Lil Jon still has it like he did in his 30s when I saw him. I do have to give it that. He brought a lot of energy to the roll call. I think if anyone saw a part of the roll call, that's what they saw.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it was so funny because that's the convention is, I mean, you could bump in, I mean, you know, you could walk across the hall against Gavin Newsom. You could bump into, you know, former Speaker Nancy Pelosi. I mean, everyone's on the floor. So for someone that's like stargazing, you got to keep your eyes open because everybody's on the floor. And it's a time where everybody across the spectrum comes there and unites.
All right, so now the DNC is over, but obviously you're still part of the campaign as a delegate, and now the debate, right? So we've got the hype of the RNC, the hype of the DNC. We now go into a debate. We know how the last debate ended for Democrats. Mitch, what are you looking forward to? What do you think Kamala Harris has to do in this September debate?
You know, I think that this is going to be very telling. And I think that, you know, when you see, you know, look, you had President Biden who did not debate well, but the fact of the matter is President Trump didn't debate well either. It was just more glaring that the incumbent president was worse. And you have Kamala Harris who has, you know, she's a former prosecutor. And what I'm looking for her to do on the debate stage is to not let them flop around with all this, you know, fake nonsense and to blow in the wind and just say things that don't make sense and make up lies. I really want her to nail them down and be firm and to call him out on all the lies and, you know, everything that he has done, like, you know, start an insurrection, you know, cause and initiate a tax cut that for the billionaires, because certainly nobody listening to this radio station has benefited from the tax cut of President Trump. You know, weakening us on the national stage, you know, bending a knee to demagogues and to autocrats. And I hope that she, you know, goes on that debate stage and she gets in the ring and she nails them down.
Now, Mitch, if you don't mind, I do have two city questions to ask you.
Sure.
Any update on the ambulance situation? We know that was a hot topic at the Buffalo Common Council. Where do we stand on that investigation, looking into it, and when will we know the next move?
So AMR did respond back to me in a formal letter that I received while I was at the convention. So in that formal correspondence, they did outline that, look, they said, look, we do have, you know, issues because of, you know, hospital waits, because of people inappropriately using, you know, the ambulance service. We have slow staffing and they are low staffing. And they point out all the issues to me. I was like, okay, well, you know, if you're pointing out all these issues now, I mean, that means that they already existed and that you didn't come to the Common Council or come to anybody to try to rectify those problems. So now, you know, since I had issues in my district and I initiated this, we could start working on them. And then AMR did explain that they are still operating without a contract. And they're stating in their letter that they didn't hear from the fire commissioner to wrap this up. And that's a huge problem, Joe, because, you know, you cannot operate on an expired contract. You need to have a mutually beneficial contract to then be able to hold both sides accountable. And so we're out without one. So I'm preparing for September 10th, and I'm the chairman of the finance committee. And since there's an unexpired contract with AMR, they will both be coming in, and I'll be inviting the fire commissioner to explain what's going on. And, you know, when you're doing your initial kind of investigation, you know, how are we paying first responders, paramedics who are reviving us, who are going into emergency situations, who are providing critical care, so life-saving care to bring those that are impacted to the hospital safely? And how are we paying them 18, 19, 20 bucks an hour? That's comparable to minimum wage and to go work at Tim Hortons. And so we have to really talk about how do we treat, not only how do we treat, but how do we pay and compensate EMS and paramedics and workers to make these competitive jobs, to get good people in there to provide a vital service. So there's a lot to break down and to talk about, and I look forward to that in committee on September 10th.
Very interesting. Final question, Councilmember Mitch Nowakowski joining us. There is a report out, and I don't know how much you know or want to comment on this, that Mayor Byron Brown is on a short list for the OTB. Anything you're hearing?
You know, City Hall could be a place of a lot of rumor and speculation. So I've heard that. And, you know, he's free to pursue what he desires. And the fact of the matter is if he does go, then the charter states that the council president, which is Chris Scanlon, will be the acting mayor and then discharge those duties. I think that, you know, he would be ready to do it. And if the mayor does pursue something and goes on, the city of Buffalo will continue to operate and we'll take it from there.
Mitch, I want to thank you for always being available for us. You, Alex, and Zanetta as the only three local DNC delegates to join us before and after the convention. And I look forward to talking to you in the very near future.
Thanks, Joe.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.